Then there was Werner Landecker, the professor of sociology at the University of Michigan. Made you stop and think when he said he was spending all his leisure time learning what a man his age should have learned years ago. You've received confidence, the realization that you're not alone in your loss, the inspiration from your fellow classmates, and you've given inspiration in return. You're ready to participate as a whole person again. You've learned that even the things that are to be taken for granted have a deeper meaning for you.
That's absolutely true. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker at 737. That was a clip from one of those educational promotional movies, this one about somewhere in the mid-50s, when my dad was attending Leader Dogs for the School Blind, for the Leader Dogs for the Blind in Rochester, Michigan. And it's great to link up with them again this evening. With Melissa, how do you say your last name, Melissa? Is it Melissa Weiss?
Melissa Weiss, yes. And hello, John.
How are you? So glad
I'm very well.
So glad that you're on.
Me too.
My father had four leader dogs over the course of his life.
My goodness, how wonderful.
I don't have any memory of my father being able to see at all.
Yeah.
And he had Mickey, Teddy, Bruno, and Champ.
And what breeds were they? What breeds?
Yeah, I knew. The first three were German Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Champ was a Golden Retriever.
Oh, wonderful!
Champ was a bit of a Champ was a bit of a scamp, quite frankly. he overenjoyed himself. Let's just say that. Yes. And the first dog, Mickey, when it's in the house, you know, not working with my father or not in the harness, but just like hanging around the house, would attack. My brother and I couldn't go from room to room without this dog coming after our pant legs and would just
grab. No, he just wanted to be with you.
You know, just grab the pant leg and keep moving them back and forth.
They can be cheeky.
Oh, yeah. I think that there might be a misconception, maybe not, that once a dog becomes a leader dog, it somehow changes its personality. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the dog already has had its personality checked out prior to the training of being a leader dog. So when it's done, it's still a dog. You know what I mean?
It's still a dog. That's right. And we want that joy. That joy, that dog that's joyful to do the work, joyful in a family, that's the best kind of leader dog.
Yes. And I've had great experiences, and my brother and I have had great experiences with those dogs over the years.
We love to hear that.
Oh, I've got a good
one. Your dad had a long history with leader dogs. Four dogs. That's incredible.
I've got one for you, Melissa. Wait till you hear this one. Okay, so years go by, my father's passed away, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. My brother, Tom, feels that there's something wrong going on in his eye. And so he's going to get some laser surgery done.
Yes.
And during the questioning about his medical family history, they asked him, do you have something along the lines of, do you have any history of problems with vision in your family? And he goes, no. He goes, oh, wait a minute. My dad was blind, but you said, did we have any problems? We didn't have any problems. And that's literally a true story. Because it just did not register with us. And, you know, obviously a great part of that is, you know, a credit to my father who took to the leader dogs immediately.
Yes.
And, it became such a normal situation in our house that and your organization did such an unbelievable job that it was never even considered as a problem. And my father was throughout those years, was a full sociology professor at the University of Michigan. And
that is a wonderful story.
He walked from our house to the office every single day. It was just like we, you know, normal, maybe not. But as far as being a problem, no, not really.
I think that's exactly what our mission is, that someone like your father is going to live a life with 4-liter dogs and have that access to the community, their family life, employment, confidence, independence. Those dogs, each of them brought that. And it's just wonderful to hear that action and the career your father had.
Well, I don't want people to misunderstand. When my father told this dog it was time to work, when the harness came out, that dog was all business. And we were not, that was our cue for my brother and I just to say, you know, see you later.
because
my father was the only person to feed the dog, water, give it water, and also groom it. And that's all part of what he received at the Leader Dogs for the school, Leader Dogs for the Blind School that you're in charge of raising funds for. And I want to get to all of that.
Absolutely right.
I want to get to that because it is just an incredible effort that
you
have provided for humanity, quite frankly. And we'll
thank you very much.
And we'll do more.
And, you know, it's just, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, John, and you understand, you've lived it firsthand, and I really am able to speak to people who understand in the way you do, having lived with 4-liter dogs at the heart of your family life. You really know what this is about.
I do. I hope so. It's 7:43, and we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. We're talking with Melissa from the Leader Dog School for the Blind in Rochester Hills, Michigan, where my father attended over the years with the aid of 4 different leader dogs. I want to get to, there's a lot I want to get to in the time allotted. Let's just say that. I think first of all, I think people should know that no one pays for anything.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
So Leader Dogs for the Blind was founded in 1939 by members of Lions Club International. And since that time, since 1939, Lions have been loyal and dedicated supporters of Leader Dogs, spreading the word nationwide about our services. So grateful for that. In addition to Lions, we have support from people all across the country because we serve clients who live in communities truly in every state and internationally. So we have support from individuals, corporations, foundations, people who believe and understand, as you do, just the importance and support needed to help people who are blind live that independent life you spoke of, that your father did with his dog.
Yes. When I say that you pay for everything, I mean everything. We're talking airfare,
correct?
The dog, equipment that's used with the dog, training, the room, the board, the person who's there to learn to be matched with the dog, that family, whatever, pays for nothing. Nothing.
That's correct. And that is so important.
I would say so.
Yes.
And it involves a whole different tier of people involved. First of all, you know, you have the people who are raising the puppies, who are going to be the dogs, right? Yes, then you,
that's right.
Then they get the dog, and then the training starts. Does it still last about 3 weeks, or is it longer?
Well, we have some different service methods at this time, obviously right now due to COVID, but, you know, it starts, as you said, we have over 500 puppy raisers around the country and in correctional facilities in different states raising puppies on our behalf. And as you pointed out, at about a year old, that puppy comes back to Leader Dog and is then trained with a guide dog mobility instructor. That is the person that not only trains the dog to stop at curbs, to intelligently disobey, that's what we're looking for dogs to do, that are going to make a determination it's not safe to cross the road and block that individual from doing so. So that GDMI, that guide dog mobility instructor, works with the dog and then transfers that dog and educates and trains the clients that come to us. And we have a variety of services. We offer our 3-week program, as you mentioned. We also do in-home delivery in communities across the country as well. We work with people who live in fast-paced urban environments like Chicago, rural environments, a host of different sort of environments that dogs need to be comfortable in. We work with, as you mentioned, several breeds, Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, and German Shepherds. By far, we issue the most Labrador Retrievers. They are very well suited to this work, very biddable, very eager to please, good in a myriad of environments. So that tends to be the majority of dogs we issue today.
You match the temperament of the client with the temperament of the dog, right?
What we're looking for,
not exactly, but in a general sense.
In a general sense, what we're looking at is the environment you live in. Mm-hmm. How busy is it? What kind of roads? What kind of dog is going to work best in that? And then we're looking at your gait. How fast do you walk? How slow do you walk? Your lifestyle, your home community, to make that best match. And we also have a program, John, for individuals who are both deaf and blind. And we serve people using tactile American Sign Language, signing into the palms of their hands.
Hold on a second. I don't believe that was around when my father was there, because this is the first I've heard of it. How is that accomplished with the communication between someone who neither sees nor hears, yet has to give a command that they have to learn and then transfer it to the dog? How is that done?
Isn't that incredible? It's a very special program. With Tactile American Sign Language, we're able to communicate and sign into someone's hand so they can feel that sign language within the palm of their hand. And then we are teaching the dogs very basic commands in sign as well. And dogs take a lot of physical cues from us. They are learning through physical cues, so are able to pattern to do the work. And we have individuals who've completed our program in this way who are both deaf and blind and usually have a disease called Usher's syndrome, which is a degenerative disease of the eye and ear where you gradually lose both hearing and sight. And those individuals have gone on to graduate from law school and, you know, really have active lives in the community. And that's what we want to see.
Well, as I stated earlier, you pay the school pays absolutely for everything, the airfare, the room and board, the dog, the training. How do people donate to your organization? I mean, I know you have corporate donations and things of that nature, but you need all the money you can get. How do we help?
We do, and we need puppy raisers and breeding host families. And how you can help is, I would say, visit our website. We have lots of things. Because we're a national organization, we're right. Our clients are navigating communities all around Chicago and in the city.
Right.
Go to our website, see the myriad of things you can do, like sponsor a puppy, attend a virtual event, a Pino and Puppies perhaps, take virtual tours of our center. We have a lot of events you can take part in, a lot of ways you can give and get your children and grandchildren involved. It's a mission that's very tangible. I think one can see results very immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of ways to get involved with that.
You know, one thing that I did not realize until I went to get my new prescription for my glasses about 3 months ago, I'm at the optometrist and I'm filling out some forms, and there was a part of the form was I wanted to know if I wanted to donate to the Leader Dog School for the Blind. Now, this was already on the form. This is already on the form at the optometrist. And I said, you know, I checked, of course. But
yeah.
that's just a marvelous combination. So if you're going to go, I don't know if they do that everywhere, but if you're going to get a new pair of glasses coming up soon, check it out. Or are you going to get the glasses, see if the organization that you're getting glasses from has this relationship with Leader Dogs, and you'll be able to make a donation right there.
Absolutely.
Now, I know...
I'm sorry, John.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, as well as this dog guide program that you know us so very well, we also have a program that serves people with white cane training. We serve 100 people in that annually as well. Some of those individuals go on to get dogs. Others choose to navigate with a cane. We also mm-hmm. have a summer camp every year for young people who are blind and visually impaired to gain confidence. So there's lots of ways we try to reach people early in life to make that difference. Most of the people we serve have degenerative diseases of the eye, and when we pair them with either a cane or a highly trained leader dog, the outcomes are incredible.
Yeah, they sure are.
What you see people go on to do, the lives they live at universities and their home environment, it's very powerful.
I was online today, and I saw something called the Bark and Brew 5K presented by Chief Financial Credit Union Saturday, June 5th.
That's right, John. It's right, and that's something, if you go to our website, you will see, and you can sign up to support us virtually through that. And throughout the year, we'll have more fundraisers like that you can really do in your community and with your children. We have a Dinner in the Dark annually as well, where you can dine under blindfold and really gain empathy for that immersion experience.
Yeah.
So lots of interesting ways to support us, and the access to this service, as you mentioned, it being free of charge is so very important. So many people who are, they're visually impaired and or underemployed, so we really need that service to be free of charge.
Well, thank you for being with us, Melissa, and thank you for your organization. And if you go back in the files, there's this movie that was made somewhere in the mid to late 50s called, I believe, Whither Thou Goest.
And, I know it, yes.
Oh, okay. We're on the same page on that one. Thanks, Melissa. I hope all the best to you and everybody involved at the Leader Dog School.